doing some pretty tense schedules. So I was thinking tonight, maybe we can have questions and answers. How does that sound? Maybe some of you have questions. Once we get questions going, then we can stimulate them. Otherwise, if you don't have any questions, you can give me a topic and I'll speak on that. Because I don't really know, honestly, what I should speak on. And I always like to speak on what is the best topic. So you can give me a topic or we can start with questions and answers. What do you think? Does that sound fair? What topic would be good? Let the ladies choose. What topic would you like to hear? The men can't decide. Any topic? Anyone? You have to speak really loud. Sadhana? The importance of sadhana? The importance of sadhana. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pucharine Nirvisesa Sunyavadi Pashtyadidhi Satarine Sri Krishna Chaitanya Pranityananda Sri Advaita Gadadara Sivasari Gauravata Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ram 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 Hare The process of bhakti is the purification of the heart. And purification of the heart means to act in such a way that one gives up sense gratification and takes to the process of serving the Lord. Devotional service is divided. Devotional service is one, but it's divided into two. That is, hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord and practical service. Ultimately, it's all one, because practical service is an extension of hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. The quality of our hearing and chanting of the glories of the Lord will support the quality of our practical service. And the quality of our practical service will give an impetus to hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. Both fortify and nourish each other. But the basis is that hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord remains foundational as far as the essential processes of elevation. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. These are 9 processes of devotional service. Hearing about Krishna, chanting the glories of the Lord, remembering Krishna, worshipping Krishna in the form of the deity, offering prayers, vandanam, to the Lord, serving the Lord's lotus feet, that is personal service, like pujari, or servant of the spiritual master, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, personal service, carrying out instructions, that is service, and making friends with the Lord, and surrendering everything. These are the 9 processes of devotional service. Each one of these processes was perfected by a particular personality in Vedic culture. Shravanam was perfected by Parikshit Maharaj. He heard 7 days, the glories of the Lord from Srila Sukadeva Goswami, who is the personification of chanting the glories of the Lord. So he perfected that art, chanting the glories of the Lord. And he absorbed himself in speaking Srimad Bhagavatam. So Shravanam is noted by Vrikshan Maharaj as being his outstanding quality. He simply heard. And hearing is the basis of all practices. Before you can actually do anything, you have to hear. Krishna says that in Gita, you have to hear from me. And with mind fixed on me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Asam sayam samagramam. And hearing from Krishna means hearing from Krishna or Krishna's pure representative. That's the same. When they say hear from Krishna, it means Krishna or Krishna's representative. So that is the process, hearing. So everything that we follow, that we do in devotional service really centers around the process of hearing. How will you serve unless you can hear? How will you chant unless you hear? How will you remember unless you hear? How, what will you pray unless you hear? Everything is based on hearing. So hearing remains fundamental or essential for all development and practice of devotional service. Hearing. Krishna emphasized that. Hear, hear, hear. So hearing is important. It's one of the 9 processes. Chanting the glories of the Lord. In this age, chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is the Yuga Dharma. So this chanting is essential. Hearing and chanting. There's no question of chanting without hearing. There's no question of hearing without chanting. If you're chanting and not hearing, you really get very little from chanting. If you're hearing and if you're not chanting, then that's fine. You know, of course, you can hear. But chanting is a process of hearing. So chanting is essential. In fact, Prabhupada said, in this age, because Lord Chaitanya has given the process, chant the holy names of the Lord. This is the means. This chanting must accompany all the other 9 processes also. One cannot be perfect and under the other 9 processes unless it's coupled by Harinam, Japa, Kirtan, like that. That's important. That was perfected by Sukadeva Goswami, who chanted Srimad Bhagavatam. Remembering was perfected by Prahlad Maharaj. He remembered Krishna despite all the difficulties his father was giving him. His father was a demon, a big demon, Hiranyakashipu, the greatest of all demons, the Surya Bhaja. He's a Maha demon. He has perfected demoniac activities. He's a Maha Bhagavat demon. With all ecstatic symptoms of demoniac life. Yes, he's the best of all the demons. If you want to find out who's the best, he's the man. Hiranyakashipu. We sing about him every day, right? Sing about his disappearance day, right? We always sing about his disappearance day. So remembering was perfected by Prahlad. And he always remembered Krishna despite whatever his father tried to do to him. Personification of remembrance. Remembrance follows hearing and chanting. When one becomes proficient in hearing, chanting develops. When one becomes proficient, or what we say, saturated in chanting, then remembering becomes a result. So therefore, remembering is the process. As Krishna says, always remember me. So to remember Krishna means to be develop one's hearing and chanting. It's essential in order to remember Krishna. If we're weak in hearing and chanting, it becomes very difficult and practically impossible. There's different stages of hearing, different stages of chanting, but there are 5 stages of remembrance. And where remembrance goes through different intensities of remembrance, where it comes to full samadhi. When it comes to full samadhi, that is absorption and the object of remembrance. In this case, it's the Supreme Lord, Krishna. So there may be concentration, there may be meditation, but samadhi is the perfection. There may be just remembrance. So that is the, what we say, end result of proper hearing and chanting, as remembering develops, when we remember Krishna. In fact, it becomes natural to remember. It becomes easy to remember Krishna. It becomes hard to forget Krishna when one is chanting and hearing nicely. It's like it's maybe in the beginning stages, it's hard to remember Krishna. In the later stages, it's impossible to forget Krishna. It works that way, by sufficient and proper hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That was perfected by Prahlad. Akrura, he perfected praying. He offered beautiful prayers to the Lord. The prayers of Akrura are mentioned in the 10th canto, as Akrura took Krishna out of Vrindavan and brought him to Mathura in order to have him take care of Kamsa. His prayers, and then of course when he was bathing, he saw the beautiful forms of the Lord in the water. He saw their footprints in the ground. He became overwhelmed with ecstasy and offered beautiful prayers. Prayers, so Prakura is noted for one who perfected the art of praying. And there are many prayers throughout Bhagavatam. Prayers by Prahlad Maharaj, prayers by the Prachetas, prayers by Lord Brahma, prayers by Lord Shiva, prayers by Narada Muni, prayers by the worlds, personified Vedas, prayers by Gajendra the elephant. There's so many beautiful and very complete series of prayers in Bhagavatam. It's all full of wonderful prayers. And praying is really sweet, because the prayers that we pray, I mean, not to take away from other religious traditions, but other religious traditions sometimes pray simply for material things. My dear Lord, give me my something material. A wife, a husband, money, good health, you know, food, you know, good marks in school. Better prasadam. Yeah, praying for some, always asking for something. But the real, these are prayers, but they're not really the prayers that satisfy the Lord. So when the Lord hears these prayers, he passes them on to his secretaries to deal with. He doesn't handle these directly. They don't really give him much happiness. The real prayers is that when we pray by using the glories of the Lord, speaking the wonderful glories of the Lord through prayer, and then asking the Lord for service, these are the best prayers. Glorifying the Lord, his qualities, his pastimes, his activities, his forms, everything, his personal bodily features, all these are beautiful prayers, prayers by Dhruva Maharaj, all these beautiful prayers glorifying the Lord are so full in devotional principles, knowledge. We get so much knowledge from these prayers too. So we can pray by praying according to how the great souls have prayed, or we can offer individual prayers. But still, they should be not prayers for anything material. Mm-hmm. So praying, that was perfected by Akrura. The process of worshipping the Lord Archanam in the temple was perfected by Prithu Maharaj. There's not much mentioned in the life of Prithu Maharaj about his, what we say, qualities of expert deity worship, but it's known that he was. It's mentioned in other places that he perfected the art of deity worship. Although he was the king of the world, still, he was very much absorbed into worshipping the deity. And worshipping the deity is recommended generally for householders. Those who live outside should have deities. Generally, those who are initiated householders should have deities in their homes and worship the deities. The brahmacharis worship the deities in the temple. Generally, brahmacharis don't keep their own deities. And that way, this deity worship is one of the ways that one can fix their mind on Krishna in a very, what we say, complete way. It helps to absorb one's consciousness. It helps to for us, one to develop good qualities. One develops cleanliness, punctuality, humility. Those qualities that are of the nature of Brahman life can be developed through worshipping the Lord nicely. And so it's recommended for new people to worship the deities and also Grihasthas. Deity worship is very, very essential. In the higher stages, one may just chant Hare Krishna. But deity worship, but even so, we even see we have many great souls who have worshipped the deities throughout their life, because their deity worship is not like our deity worship. Their deity worship is, they are seeing and relating to Krishna in that deity. We are just doing some puja. We know it's Krishna, but it's more like theoretical. Higher stages of deity worship are, you know, available, but that comes through purifying the heart through chanting. Serving the lotus feet was perfected by Lakshmi Devi. Lakshmi Devi resides on the lotus feet of the Lord. She serves the Lord by massaging his feet and carrying out personal service to the Lord. So she is the personification of that art, serving the Lord's lotus feet. Personal service, that is done by the pujari. He serves Padasevanam, it's called, serving the lotus feet of the Lord. Is observed by going on yatras. When one goes on yatras to holy places, that is a form of padasevana. When one attends festivals such as Janmashtami, Radhastami, Ramnomi, that is also padasevana. These are features of padasevana. Serving the Lord's lotus feet. Carrying out instructions or surrendering or becoming a servant of the Lord was perfected by Hanumanji. He's a personification of that. He was willing to do anything to serve Ram. It didn't matter what it was, how difficult it was. His only concern was how to serve. So he never considered difficulty as an obstacle. He only considered Ram wants it, I'm going to do it. So that determination to serve in any and all conditions was personified by Hanuman, and it's a feature of a devotee who has complete faith in the Lord and has no other concern but the pleasure of the Lord. So by following in the footsteps of Hanuman, we get that mood of service. It doesn't matter what I'm asked to do. It's the fact that I have service, that's all that counts. Hanuman crossed the ocean, went to the Himalayas to bring back the mountain. He did so many difficult things simply to serve the Lord. Never considered it an inconvenience. The last two, becoming a friend of the Lord, was perfected by Arjuna. And surrendering everything to the Lord was perfected by Bali Maharaj, who gave everything to the Lord. The first seven are practiced in Raga and Vaidhi Bhakti, but the last two, becoming a friend and surrendering everything, is on the platform of Raganuga Bhakti. It's on the platform of Raganuga Bhakti. So these seven or nine processes of devotional service make up the whole program of devotional service. But everything centers around hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. That is essential. Therefore, one must keep regular hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord. If we're weak in hearing and chanting, our service will become difficult. Our service will become
a burden.
After a while, even if you like your service, it will become work if you're not hearing and chanting nicely. Service should be joyful. Service should be, something we look forward to. But if we're not hearing and chanting sufficiently, we don't get the spiritual strength nor the clear vision to serve properly and enthusiastically. So sadhana remains the basis of everything we do. The basis of everything we do. And if you're serving nicely, then your desire to hear and chant will also increase. If you're doing your service nicely and finding satisfaction, you'll always look forward to hearing and chanting. They kind of feed and nourish each other like that. So these things are going together. Of course, in the higher stages of bhakti, those who are developed, they absorb themselves in hearing and chanting. Their work is to glorify the Lord. Their work is to hear about the Lord, chant about the Lord, to remember the Lord, to preach the glories of the Lord. That becomes their sadhana. So, you chant 16 rounds attentively, not just to get it done. If you chant just to get it done, the result will be you'll get it done. That's all. You won't get much from that. I mean, there's something, but none. One should hear and chant attentively, at least try to hear and chant attentively, and devotionally. One should concentrate. One should read Prabhupada's books regularly, especially four books are essential: Srimad Bhagavatam, Nectar of Devotion, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita. Prabhupada said these four books are sufficient for self-realization. Everything is in those four books. You know, all the other books that you read are more or less an expansion of those principles. Bhagavatam is complete in itself. Everything is in Bhagavatam. Nectar Devotion is the science, how to execute bhakti properly. Bhagavad Gita is how to come to the platform of wanting to surrender to Krishna. Bhagavad Gita teaches the process of surrender. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't talk about surrender. It picks up where surrender leaves off. When one reads Bhagavatam, it's assumed they're already surrendered. Bhagavatam takes you into the process of bhakti. Krishna prepares you for Bhagavatam through the words of Gita, how to surrender, how to give up one's personal interest for the interest of the Lord, how to execute devotional service in the mood of surrender. And Chaitanya Charitamrita is a postgraduate study. It's living Bhagavatam. It's living Bhagavatam. It's Lord Chaitanya's life. He's brought the Sankirtan movement to the material world, and he's performing that activity with his eternal associates as if they were in the spiritual world. So that is living Bhagavatam, the life of Lord Chaitanya. So these four books are essential. Nectar and Devotion teaches very carefully the systematic process of how the science of bhakti works. Like that. But in essence, chanting the glories of the Lord, hearing the glories of the Lord, these are the principles. Lord Chaitanya emphasized that we should hear and chant the glories of the Lord, serve the Vaishnavas, and show compassion to the fallen souls by giving them Krishna consciousness. He emphasized three principles. Nam Ruchi, Vaishnav Seva, and Jivadaya. And so sadhana is important if you're living outside the temple, which practically all of you are. then you have to establish sadhana in your house. With your family or with others, every day you have to chant. Every day you should do some deity puja, worship the Lord. Even if you don't have a deity, some pictures, some altar should be there. That's essential. That purifies our consciousness where we can go on with our responsibilities. We have to hear and chant the glories of the Lord. In the morning, and then when we come back from our daily activities, if we have occupation or whatever, in the evening again. Hearing in the morning, hearing in the evening, chanting in the morning. This regular diet of hearing and chanting will keep one fixed in Krishna consciousness. So this is sadhana, and the service is an extension of our devotion. So is hearing and chanting, but the service is an expression that I want to offer something to Krishna. My time, my resources, my intelligence, my words, something. I want to make some offering. So I offer service in a practical way. This is essential too. Of course, not living in a temple means one should arrange their service schedule in such a way that they can practice to some degree. Not that one can do it every day, but at least one should see the importance of doing practical service. So going to the temple and doing some service there. Of course, serving one's family by giving them Krishna consciousness, taking care of your deities. Turning your house into a temple, making your home a temple. If Krishna is there in his deity form, that means there really is a temple. You just have to realize it by practicing devotional activities centered around the deity. Deity remains the proprietor of the home. It's not that, you know, I'm the deity is in my house. No, you're in the deity's house. When you leave every day, you're leaving his house. And when you come back, you're coming back to his house. You report to him and you ask permission. So many things. You offer him food, you bathe him, you worship him like that. You even consult him in material affairs. You may ask Krishna how to carry on with your material activities. He becomes your consultant too. All these things are simple principles, but they're very powerful because they situate our consciousness in the right attitude. That I am Krishna's servant, and devotional service is my goal, life. Now, each of us are different, so some people have more inclination for hearing and chanting, all others having more inclination for other things. That's all right. It's not that everyone has to be the same, nor is it practical, possible, or even, you know, suggestible. But still, there should be enough hearing and chanting when one remains enthusiastic in their service. If you're feeling less enthusiastic in your service, that means your hearing and chanting is weak. Generally, that's the understanding. Okay. So, I'll stop and see if there's any questions. Comments? The modes are, yeah, some days you feel enthusiastic, some days you don't. It's the modes of material nature are a factor, but also, if you're keeping good sadhana, then you'll always remain enthusiastic in your service. you'll always remain enthusiastic to serve if you're having good sadhana. If your sadhana is weak, then it becomes difficult to do your service. Then you can do it, but you feel more like there's more of an effort, or it doesn't just flow or become joyful. We forget it? You can write down. Write down some essential points. When you're reading, keep some pen. I do. When I'm reading, if something really hits me, I write it down. That's one way to remember it. Another way to remember it is, as soon as you read it, go tell it to someone. And as soon as you start speaking about it, see, that's that principle. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam. Without Kirtanam, Smaranam becomes very difficult. Reading is hearing. Reading is hearing. So when you chant, then you remember. The persons who remember the most are the people who preach. The preachers remember. Why? Because they're repeating what they hear, they're repeating what they remember, they're repeating what they're reading, they're repeating what they're realizing. So when you repeat, you actually remember. And when you remember, then that's Krishna consciousness. So that's the best thing. We used to do that in New Vrindavan. We would have a program where our devotees would ask each other throughout the day, what was class about? And then immediately there would be some discussion. And speaking about philosophy, or what did the deities wear today? And then you start thinking. And then you're visualizing the deity in your mind, what color clothes he had on, what was his jewelry, how is he decorated, and then you're absorbed in thoughts of Krishna's transcendental form. And then you're speaking about that. So that's Krishna consciousness. So we can set up these little, programs for remembrance. Like, make a program in the morning. Every day I will speak to at least one person about Krishna. That's my vow. Today I will speak about Krishna to at least one person. At least one person. That means more if you can, but at least one. If you make that little vow, then when you read, you're really concentrating more because you're thinking, I have to remember so I can repeat this. Yeah. It's nice. Any other question? What should our daily prayer be? Our daily prayer to the Lord? My dear Lord, please give me service. When you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur says, you're asking for service. My dear Lord, please engage me in your service. That is actually the meaning of the mantra. It's not that we're simply chanting. We are, and glorifying the Lord, but underneath that, the acharyas have given us the understanding that we're asking for seva. Right now we're in this world and we're serving so many things. Now to come back to the spiritual world, we need to take up service to the Lord. So the chanting means a prayer for service. That's it. How can I serve you? That's the best prayer. Prabhupada also spoke about that. He said, I hardly asked my spiritual master anything. My only question was, how could I serve you? Prabhupada said that about himself. The best person, and then Krishna will reciprocate, because what is Krishna's mercy? The opportunity for service. Just imagine waking up one morning and there's no service. The Lord calls you up on the phone and says, Prabhu, take a day off, don't serve me today, go to the beach, relax, sleep. I don't need your service today. Oh, that's worse than death, right? In other words, in some indication, to not be able to serve is probably the worst thing that could happen, because a devotee is connected with the Lord through service. So when we're praying, we ask for service, and the Lord gives us service, that's His mercy. How can our daily
and routine work with devotion?
Krishna says that in Gita, that do everything as an offering to me.
So, at the end of the day, I should offer whatever I can.
Or even while you're doing. You're thinking, I'm a devotee, and I'm working at my occupation so I can get some money to maintain my family, so I can live, so I can practice devotional service. And do your work as a service to Krishna. Don't do it just to make money. That's a great art. Prabhupada says this art is something that must be learned from the spiritual master. What is that verse? Yagnartakamanoyaktam lokogyam kamabandanahataratakamakuntayam muktasangasamacharam. Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu must be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to the material world. Perform your duties for His satisfaction, and that way you'll be unattached and free from bondage. So, work, well, whatever we do for ourselves brings attachment. And the results are either auspicious, inauspicious, or a mixture. If we do everything for Krishna, that is devotional service. So we, when we go to work, we should think, I'm actually going to serve the Lord. And as a grihastha, this is my responsibility. Even while you're in your workplace, you do your work nicely. And then, practically speaking, we can offer some of the results of our work in terms of, you know, offering donations or using our skills to serve the Lord. If Krishna gives you some talents, some abilities, you can serve the Lord by using that. It's not easy. But if we have that consciousness that I'm doing it for Krishna, Krishna will show you or give you the realization that He's accepting your service in that way. Another question? Yes? Yeah. Because you want it to come in your way, and Krishna gives it in His way. Yeah, it's basically the whole thing. You're thinking in terms of how Krishna should reciprocate. But He's not going to necessarily reciprocate according to your plan, because then there's no surrender. Surrender means do what I want. So when you ask for service, I mean, Krishna may give you something you like, or He may not. It's up to Him. He's independent. If He thinks it's good for you, He'll give you what you like. If He thinks it's not good for you, He'll give you some service that you have to surrender to. So when you pray for service, don't pray conditionally. Pray, my dear Lord, please give me your service according to what's best for me. And Krishna will act. Yes? I mean, if you really fight Krishna, then after a while He'll give you service what you like, but you won't make much advancement. It won't make much advancement. There are devotees who approach the spiritual master and want to serve the way they want to serve. And the spiritual master will give that just to keep them connected. But the spiritual master will know in order to make advancement they should be doing something else. And so he gives two kind of instructions, what you like and what you need. For those who are not surrendered, He gives what you like. For those who are surrendered, He gives what you need. Hare Krishna. So when you pray, pray for what you need. Yes. Yes. Archay Vishnu Siladi Guru Shu Namati Vaishnave Jati Bhuti. The verse from the Padma Puranas explains that one who sees the spiritual master is coming from some background, material background, who sees the Vaishnava coming from caste or creed. Archay Vishnu Siladi, one who sees a deity made of stone or wood. Guru Shunamati Vaishnava Jati Bhuti. The whole line, the prayer goes on and on. One who sees Mahaprasadam as ordinary food. All this. The last word in the verse is Naraki. Naraki means hell. One's intelligence is coming from hell. There you go. So one who sees the deity in the temple as some material thing made of stone and wood, you're not getting much credit. Nothing. The deity is Krishna. It's Archivigra incarnation. Krishna has incarnated in that form. The deity is not a representative Krishna. The deity is Krishna. Some people who have not a complete understanding say that Krishna is in the spiritual world and the deity is his representative. We worship the deity because this is the means to worship Krishna. No. The deity is Krishna. The deity walks, the deity talks, the deity eats, he sleeps, he does everything. You can't see it, but he does. The deity is Krishna. In some cases, he does these things. He does eat. He'll eat the food and he'll come in and the bowls will be empty. He talks, he walks, Sakshi Gopal story, so many stories. The deity communicates with the devotees. In fact, devotees are on a higher platform, they're always talking to the deity, constantly. They go to the deity and speak to him, he speaks back to them. They hear the word. The deity is Krishna. So that's not a matter of, it's a matter of, to realize that is a matter of purification, but we should accept that principle, at least theoretically. The deity is Krishna. Prabhupada said it. When you're dealing with the deity, you should know that's Krishna. It's not a stone, it's not an idol. It's Krishna. This is transcendence. This is not something that fits into material, what we say, logic or calculations. If you use material logic or calculations, you come up with something else. The deity is Krishna. The prana pratishtha ceremony is a ceremony where the spiritual master calls the Lord to enter into that deity, and then that deity becomes eternally the Lord. So remember that verse from the Padma Purana. Any ladies, questions? Yes? Huh? We should preach? Uh-huh. Yeah, that's using your intelligence. You should preach with the principles, but you may explain it according to time, place, and circumstance. The same principle can be explained in different ways to different types of people in different settings. It's like when I preach in America and I preach in India, but I don't preach the same in America as I preach in India, because the Americans are generally people in America. They can't handle too much. They're not so surrendered. So you have to make it really sugar-coated and sweet. And And the, but you want to come to India, you preach more directly because there's more of a, an understanding and an acceptance. So, and of course, if you're preaching to corporate people, you have to tailor it so they, your language makes sense to them. That is called that. That is called expert. One has to learn how to, just like, you know, you have to be able to see your audience. You're not going to preach to, you know, doctors as you preach to, you know, brahmacharis. It's not the same. Even if the brahmacharis are doctors. It's just, it's not the way it goes. You know, you have to speak their language, or try. So there is basic repeating. One can repeat like a parrot, and that's nice. But in some cases, it becomes too extraneous for them to understand. Like I remember one person, he likes to use analogies in his preaching. And so he was preaching using analogies. And then the person was saying, can't you give me some facts? Why do you just keep giving me analogies? And he would come back with another analogy. You know, so, I mean, his analogies were good. And they were, like, relevant to what he was saying. But the person wasn't receptive to that type of presentation. So it became somewhat counterproductive or ineffectual. So you have to see. So that's trial and error. That's trial and error. You give it a try. If you see how people are accepting it, then you can develop it. If they're not, you just look at it from another angle. That's knowing your audience like that. Yeah. That's not against the principle of repeating. It's repeating with realization, actually. It's a higher principle. And to go back to your first statement, yes, everyone should preach. This is a preaching movement. That means everyone should see themselves as an instrument for spreading Krishna consciousness. You know, this idea that the sannyasis preach, everybody else just listens. It's not our movement. And it's a lot of weight for the sannyasis, too. We would like to listen too. So it's, you know, everyone should be aware that Prabhupada's movement is a preaching movement. And if I can offer something to further the preaching, then I will get the, I'll get the blessings of Prabhupada. And if you can't preach to people in general, you can preach to your family members or friends. Any other questions? Yes?
Qualities of devotees like determination, conviction, meditation, how we can develop?
The qualities of devotees, such as humility, conviction, tolerance, pridelessness. Two ways. You can read about them, you can understand what they are, you can apply them. These are the qualities of the soul. These qualities already exist within the soul. They need to be wrought out. So two ways to bring them out. Practice them and purify your heart by following the process. If you simply cultivate these qualities without practicing the process, whatever you develop will remain external and will never really stand the test of time. And if you simply practice the process without cultivating the qualities, it may be very slow. Very slow. We have to do simultaneously. Simultaneously. Practice humility, practice tolerance, practice. And this practice is not artificial because these are the natural qualities of the soul. So you're just trying to bring them out, that's it. Through practice and through purification. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions the qualities of a Brahman. In the Bhagavad Gita, 16th chapter, the qualities, first three verses, the qualities of the godly persons. In the 13th chapter, the 20 items of knowledge, which are also qualities. So the books are full of descriptions of these qualities and examples of how they are being practiced. So we become inspired by reading about them, hearing about them. If you want to learn about humility, read the life of Sanatana Goswami. If you want to learn about tolerance, read the life of Haridas Thakur. If you want to learn about chanting, read the life of Srila Haridas Thakur. If you want to learn about, again, the different persons who perfected the different arts, Hanuman, like that. You see different qualities that are exemplary in different Vaishnava personalities like that. We can read about their activities, follow in their footsteps. Practice, practice, practice. Any other questions? Yes, Mataji. What should we do? Should we ask for Krishna or just allow Krishna to do it anyway? Is that the... Krishna knows what you need, but still, when you ask, it's an indication that you want it. It's nice to pray and to ask for certain things that are conducive to our advancement in spiritual life. But they should be in that category, not things that are... Therefore, when we ask for certain things, such as, please help me develop the qualities of a devotee. Please give me the determination to do my service. Please help me to chant better, rounds. These are all part of proper, please help me to associate with devotees in the proper way. All these good things are conducive to making spiritual progress. So they're good. There's nothing wrong with that. And they're done by great souls also. So we can ask Krishna for that. We can ask the spiritual master for that. But to pray directly to Krishna is difficult. You pray to the spiritual master. You pray to Lord Nityananda. Pray to Lord Chaitanya. They're merciful. You pray to Krishna, he's merciful, but he's pretty busy. He's got a lot of requests, so you might have to wait for a while. But if you go to Lord Nityananda, you'll get it faster. Or your spiritual master. Yes? Drink anyway. What should we do to appreciate devotees more? Serve devotees. By serving, appreciation develops. The six exchanges of love. Tadati, Pratiganati, Guyam, Akyati, Prichchiti. Bhunte bodhite chaiva sadvidham pitilakshanam. This verse is from the fourth verse from the Upadeshamrita. These are six exchanges. To give a gift, to receive a gift, to open one's heart and mind to another, to hear others' confidential thoughts, to give prasadam, to accept prasadam. These six things are six exchanges of love between Vaishnavas. Read that verse. But these six things make up the activities of Vaishnavas, between Vaishnavas. To give a gift, we can give a gift. It's like, give a picture, give a book, give some Lakshmi, give a gift. I mean, these principles are extended beyond just the basics. But in the basics, these are how devotees interact. To reveal one's mind. That may also mean by speak to another about Krishna. Or just to hear others, or to reveal one's confidential thoughts. Prabhupada said, this Krishna consciousness movement was established on the basis of these six principles, and this movement is nourished by these six principles. So these principles are the interaction between Vaishnavas. Talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna, giving gifts. We give a gift to a devotee, that's nice. Give a, you know, that endears one to that devotee, and vice versa. Accepting gifts, giving prasadam, accepting prasadam. We do that regularly, but that can be done more often. These are all Vaishnava, these are six exchanges of love between Vaishnavas. It's described as loving relationships. So these must be practiced if our society wants to be nourished. And then we appreciate devotees too. Beyond that, we can appreciate everyone who comes to Krishna consciousness as special. Why? Because they have come to the right place. Even though they may be not very advanced, still, by spiritual definitions, they are considered to be saintly. Why? Because they have come to the Lord. Therefore, they're rare, and they're also very special. So appreciate the devotees. Serve the devotees. You'll never appreciate devotees unless you serve the devotees. You may have some external appreciation, but it'll fade in time unless you develop these six exchanges on the basis of service. Service must be there. We can go into a whole discussion on devotees. But does that answer your question? No? No? We're having a casual attitude towards everybody or just one person? By knowledge, we know what to do. Why do we listen to our minds? Our minds are telling us one thing, and we're thinking our minds are right. Listen to the words of the Guru. Listen to the words of the Shastras. If you want to be a devotee, you have to change your consciousness. If you want to change your consciousness, you have to act according to those activities which are conducive to spiritual practice. This is transformation, not, you know, just education with no transformation. Education means transformation. We're transforming our consciousness. Our education is not just some accumulation of knowledge so we become, you know, known or seen as someone who knows scripture. There has to be a transformation of consciousness. This is all about. So practice those principles that are conducive to devotional service. Offer obeisances to devotees. Respect devotees. Serve devotees. This is Vaishnava what we say, culture. It's Vaishnav culture. Not just we come together and we just, when the prasadam is out, then everybody's happy. Before then, nothing goes on. We just tolerate each other. Appreciate devotees by serving them. If you're feeling unappreciative, then give a gift. Offer some prasad. Start seeing the good qualities in others. Everyone has good qualities, everyone has faults. Depends on what you want to see. You seem to see the faults, then that's what you'll see. You see the good qualities, that's what you'll see. It depends what you look for. So, Krishna consciousness, it doesn't just fall out of the sky. You gotta act, you gotta work for it. Krishna's mercy is there, but the mercy comes by way of your endeavor. Apply the principles to your life. That's all. I mean, you may be a person who's not so social, who likes to maybe be less social, more alone. So you make friends with a few devotees and have a few friends. And then the rest you respect from a distance. And you may not interact with so many. There are many devotees like that. There's some devotees that love it, just being with all devotees, and there's others that they just like to have a few friends, and that's nice. Either way, it's correct, because our natures are different. But still, the principle is, whatever way you cultivate relationships, it always should be appreciation, gratitude, service, and actually affection. We're concerned. And even if you can't accept anything I said, accept this one fact. If you want to please Krishna, serve his devotees. At least, even if you don't like devotees, or you can't stand them, and you'd just rather not be around them, but you still want to be Krishna conscious, realize that Krishna loves his devotees, so if you serve them, Krishna is pleased. So you can please Krishna, even if you don't like the devotees. Of course, that's not true. Point is that do it as a service to please the Lord. If you can't come to any other calculable reason why you should, you know, respect and appreciate devotees, then just do it because it pleases the Lord. That's guaranteed. That's the fundamental principle that works in any situation. Why should I do this? It pleases Krishna. Okay. If it pleases Krishna, then that's the only reason I need. Very well. Mataji. I'm going to reposition myself while you talk. Go ahead. Go ahead, keep talking. This couch is terribly uncomfortable. You're becoming attached to. I don't know if I understand your question. We're doing our sevas for the spiritual master, for Radharani, for Krishna, and we're. Yeah. Yeah. No. No. Yeah. The idea is to become attached. That's the idea. Well, you have to be attached to something. No, it's good. You should be attached. That's the idea. Attached to Krishna. Attached to serving Krishna. Attached to pleasing Krishna. Yeah. Not only attachment. Radharani is so attached that she cannot think of Krishna even for a second. If you ask Radharani, Radharani, you're attached to thinking of Krishna all the time. Therefore, you're attached. Therefore, just to show your detachment, stop thinking of Krishna. What would she say to you? You're nonsense. No, the thing is, we want to be attached to the right thing. We want to be unattached to the wrong thing. Attachment is okay. When it's attachment for the right thing is a way to liberation. Attachment to the wrong thing is the way to degradation. So yes, attached to the Lord, attached to serving the Lord. Even if you're attached in a certain way, that's nice. That's Krishna conscious. And if you're happy, sometimes I remember in the old days in Krishna consciousness, devotees used to think, if I'm happy, that's not Krishna conscious. I should be doing my service as an austerity, and it should be painful. Then I'm making a sacrifice. If I'm feeling happy, that means I'm motivated. No, you're not happy. Prabhupada said, if you're not happy, you're in Maya. So if you're feeling happy and you're serving, Haribo, you made it. You look happy. Huh? I know, I can tell. And you were unhappy because I didn't understand your question. Oh, this is the idea, to become happy. Susukam. Susukam kartavavyayam. This process is joyful. It becomes joyful when we become absorbed in our service. Then it becomes fun. We're not trying to be great philosophers. We're trying to be lovers of God. That's all. Yes, Mataji. Huh? There's a few thousand motorbikes out there, and it's a little hard to hear everything you're saying. If you could stand up a little, that way I can hear you better. This Pune is scooter loca. It's got more scooters than scooter loca. Amazing. Anyway, that's another subject. Okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah. 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 No, the book, what you read was that in Kali Yuga, all the dhams become more covered over by the layers of the material energy. The dham remains the dham, but the coverings become thicker. So it becomes harder for the average person to get the mercy, the benefit of the Dham. Except one Dham, Sri Dham Mayapur. As Kali Yuga goes on, Mayapur becomes more self-effulgent. But all the other Dhams remain but they become covered over, that's all. So it's harder to get the mercy of the dhams because of the coverings. But still, the dham is the dham. But in Mayapur, unlimited mercy. And very much evident. The mercy is evident too. So when you go to these other dharms, such as Jagannath Puri and Vrindavan, Rishikesh, Hardware, it takes a lot more energy, effort, devotion to get the experience of the dham than it would be by going to Mayapur. They're still there, but you have to work harder for that. Covering doesn't mean it loses its potency, it just means it becomes less evident. That's all. It's like a mirror. You can have a thin layer of dust or you can have a thick layer of dust. The mirror is still there, but the dust, according to the thickness, covers the mirror more. So that's the nature of Kali Yuga. I was just in Vrindavan. Vrindavan's becoming like Bombay. Right outside our temple. Beep, beep, ah, mmm. All the horns and zoom, 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 you know. Vrindavan Dham, Kijai. Haribo. I was trying to keep my consciousness on Radharani, but it was hard. You know, yeah, it's becoming more like that. You know, it's just the nature of Kali Yuga. But somehow, by Lord Chaitanya's special protection, Sridham Mayapur remains self-effulgent. That's the mercy of this age.
Okay.
Any more questions? Okay. So we stop here.